Blog Talk Radio.
Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic creation. That's right, the magic of creation. You know, it's like life. Life can be very magical, and I just need to see it. And upon doing that, it's like we can move forward in our life. Greetings. Thank you for listening today. And I'm in a really grateful place right now because there's a lot of opportunities happening, a lot of workshops that are going to take me to various parts of California. They're upcoming in April. I'm going to go to San Luis Obispo on the 14th. I'm going to go to Oakland on the 20th. I'll be in North Hollywood, which I'm pretty much there, you know, at least a couple of times a week there at the Green Man store. But I'm going to be doing, you know, three coming workshops there, starting in March, March 23rd. We're going to do the Power of Transformation. We're going to do that workshop, start with that one, and then the next week, I believe it's on the 6th or 7th, it's the Sunday, it is Navigating the Dark Cards. Those cards like the Ten of Swords and the Tower and the Three of Swords and Death, and these cards that will come up in a reading and make your heart stop. It's like, why that? They come up for a reason. And sometimes that reason is a serious one, you know, as far as imagine that, you know, coming to a tarot reader because you've got like a serious issue in your life. And you know, it's like we look at these every day. I look at the serious stuff every day. And you know, you know, not only the tarot, but in we have an upcoming meditation, which will be, I think that's the 6th, April 6th. So the Navigating the Dark Cards at the Green Man will be the 7th, that Sunday. April 6th will be a meditation at Healing Oak Crystal. And that's in Simi Valley. And that meditation will be moving through your fears. So again, not topics that are just kind of light and fluffy. It's like, you know, just riding rainbows and unicorns, but you know, really looking to make a change. And one more workshop that I'll be doing in April at the Green Man will be later in the month. The 26th or some 28th, I think. 27th or 28th. It's a Sunday again. I don't have a calendar in front of me, so I don't have it written down. But that one will be, I give myself permission to ... And so that workshop will be, they're fun. They're explorations. Everyone is there to participate. There are no spectators in my workshops, in my classes. There are no spectators. There's no one just sitting around, just getting information, gleaning information. It's like the space is open. It's provided, and it's a safe, supportive space. And it's just like, use it. Use it while you can. You know, we don't get a lot of opportunities in our life to be participants, You know, it's like people they want you to just sit and listen to them, and it's like, don't do that. You know, it's like, just certainly you can glean some information. You know, I do expect you to listen for the next hour to this, but in the workshops where there's other people, it's like utilizing that group energy there, and you're invited to be a part and to do your part and to you know, voicing in the case of that workshop, you know, I give myself permission to, you know, to fill in that blank and then stand in that energy and allow for the group to enhance that, to support you, to show you how you can change things up if you need to, if you're in a place of fear about it. And not that I hope that you're in a place of fear about it, but anything that is worthwhile that we need to do, it's like, yeah, there can be a lot of fear behind it. You know, because it's pushing us. It's pushing us to rise up, to give voice to something, to put our necks out as far as like identifying ourselves, you know, with what it is that we want to do or who it is that we want to be. You know, and sometimes it's who we need to be. And yes, is there that push-pull energy inside of us where we hesitate, where we try to talk ourselves out of it? Yeah. And you know, it's when we recognize it, when we move through that fear, that we are doing the work, and we're doing the work to fulfill our own purpose. You know, would we be given this energy to waste it or to not activate it? So I encourage, you know, the person who is not fully confident about who they are in the world to step up and to you know, put that energy out there, and we can examine it. We can take it for a test spin. Again, it's safe, supportive space to do that. All right, my website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com, has my tarot reading schedule, has the workshops. My website on the homepage is broken into two spots. You can go to the tarot, or you can go to my Om chant CDs, albums, MP3s, you name it, it's out there. But the workshops, the meditations, they are all at the on the tarot side of my website, jasondmckean.com. And I if you're going to be in one of these areas, you know, San Luis Obispo, Oakland, North Hollywood, I feel like I'm forgetting one because there's so many. Well, Las Vegas, but that's at the beginning of May, but still May 4th, Las Vegas. If you're in any of these areas and you want to come to be a part of the workshop and the group and the, you know, the exploration of expanding your own purpose and identity and all, then please go to the website and check it out. Right. Let's get started. Let's get started. 'Cause I tend to go long about just website stuff, advertising, because there's just a lot of stuff to do in life. But I wanted to get to the idea of self-care. Self-care. You know, because that to me is it's kind of one of those core issues that you know, when people come to me, it's like, you know, they may be kind of frazzled, You know, they have been perhaps stewing about something for quite a while. And I feel that when one takes the time to kind of reset themselves, to get into a calm space, it's like, you know, then they can, you know, start to, you know, make the necessary adjustments in their own life as far as what it is that they can do, right? You know, if there's a breakup in a relationship, it's like, you know, certainly that creates a lot of stress and all, but you know, if you can't do anything about bringing someone else back into your life, if it's done, you know, that person is gone, then, you know, are you completely powerless? It's like, no. You know, it's like you are in the sense of like bringing that person back, but you know, to reset yourself, to recalibrate your own inner self, your you know, how would I say that, you know, as far as like one's own self-esteem, you know, one's own sense of value, how you give yourself worth. You know, it's like those can be entirely crushed, you know, after someone leaves, and you're, you know, you feel alone, and it's a bad scene, right? But what are those things that you can do to you know, start to again build up your own self-worth again, your own value, you know, within yourself. And you know, I mean, I've certainly gone through, you know, this. I, you know, no one is a master of being able to cut people out of their lives. You know, I just did a meditation where it's about how we diminish the effect that other people can have on us. You know, it's like with relationships, there can be people that like push our buttons, and you know, every time they know how to push our buttons, and we are a victim to that. You know, as far as, you know, we can't help it but just go in the same place because, you know, they just know how to get us. And to be able to, you know, start to diminish those connections so that you don't just go automatically, you know, into that go-to place of where, you know, they say something, they do something, but they trigger you, that just sends you into a rage, or just, you know, just the same time, it's the same thing every time, your reaction to it, and learning to recognize, to recognize that, you know, you're kind of trapped by that. That awareness can be incredibly helpful as a starting point. You know, it doesn't mean that you'll be able to bypass it every single time, but you can start to, you know, where you can catch yourself right before that critical moment of where that the spark hits the wire, and you know, it's like, you know, you've gone you know, into the same reaction, where you catch yourself and say, ah, I see what you are doing, and I see what I'm doing, and I'm going to now not go there. And it doesn't mean, you know, that you catch it every single time. You know, it's like that takes a lot to be able to monitor yourself at all times. I will find myself, and I use this example of the person who who's in a car. Well, I'll use this example because it did happen the other day, where I'm walking the dogs, and there's a car that is going not only very fast, but they're traveling outside their lane into the place where I'm walking, and my back is to them, so it's like I didn't see it until they're like almost like right on top of me, and I have to just jump to the side a bit, and make sure the dogs are okay. And then, after that, it's like, my inclination is to kind of shake my fist and, wish ill upon them for not being careful. For is it, worth it just to go so fast? It's a highway, but it's a residential highway, where they create more problems than just if they're late by a few minutes. I'm always a believer that, it doesn't matter how fast you're going on the street anyway. It's like you're gonna get stopped at a light, and you're gonna have to sit and all that. And it's just like all that time that you thought you were saving by being a speed demon, it's like you're sitting at the light. So do you really have to just like keep pushing it, and possibly, harm others? And I find myself, after that occurs, where it just like it gets kind of the blood up. I see red for. And it's like, and you're just like kind of wishing the worst on this person. And then it's like, okay, all right, I see what I'm doing. Nothing has happened, as far as they were careless, but there's nothing that's wrong here. Do I need to keep placing myself in this place of anger? And while there's not really any repercussions of it, I'm not gonna like send a curse to him or anything like that. It's just not my way. And so I can use that awareness to cut the connection to it, so I am not in that place of anger. It's just like, okay. I think I even make that like that sound effect, that like I'm cutting a connection to that person, where I'm just like in a rage. And so one can just come back into a calm, peaceful place again. And that kind of awareness, it only happens if you kind of know the if you've gone to like these limits within yourself, where you're just not willing to hold on to it anymore. You're just kind of tired of having to just hold on to it, and be a receptacle for that kind of energy. There's a really great saying out there. It's like, being angry at someone is like drinking poison and expecting them to die. Where you are the one who is, holding on to the vitriol, and you're expecting someone else to like feel that, but they may not feel it. And certainly someone who's like driving 60 miles an hour on a highway, a residential highway, they're gone. They don't care. And I could stew, "Rah, how dare you?" But who am I hurting at that point? I'm just being that storehouse of all that negative energy. So, catching yourself and then not being that storehouse for it. That's a great way of starting that process of self-care. I chose some cards to look at because when they come up, they do point to the self when someone is in a hurt space, and it's like the first one that comes up, the Empress. In the Wizard's Tarot, the Empress is surrounded by nature, is surrounded by healing nature, various plants and herbs and things that we use for nutrition and for healing and all. But the energy of the Empress is that of the mother. And it's like if you are blessed, fortunate enough to have had a mother that you knew that was a nurturer. I count myself in that department. My mother, who is still with us on the planet, she was a nurse throughout her professional life, but has the heart of a nurse as far as a nurturer, a healer. And if I like cut myself, or if I got stung by a bee, or any number of things that a growing young boy, the troubles that I got myself into, it's like she was there to soothe the pain. And cultivating that within ourselves too. That energy of being able to ease the pain, to ease our own pain, so that we're not in a place of beating ourselves up. In the example of like the relationship, right? It's like it can make our self-worth take a nosedive. Let's say someone breaks up with you, someone leaves, it's just like, and you're not on that same page, it's like you're surprised by it, you're taken aback, you're hurt by it, it's like your sense of self-esteem can just get battered. And is there an inclination within yourself to pile on? And it's like, you really are a piece of crap, and no wonder they left you, because da 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 da, going to all the reasons why, right? As opposed to recognizing that you are someone that has worth, and that not all relationships work out, as far as like the that they have the longevity to them. Sometimes they're meant for just kind of short periods. And then I'm always fascinated by people who will be in a relationship, and then they'll find themselves out of it, but because of that relationship, it like led to like a better relationship. Like they met someone through that, or they just like something clicked within themselves, saying, you know what, I'm ready for these kind of qualities that this person has. And to be able to, again, like nurture yourself, there's always a fine line between where we nurture ourselves and where we villainize someone else. It's like I'm so great, it's like they don't deserve me, kind of thing. Where it becomes a kind of a weird exercise of where we don't allow ourselves to see if we were part of the breakup. Because with relationships, there's what you bring to it, there's what they bring to it. And just being in that honest space. That's a difficult place to be in, is an a place of like direct honesty. But again, where we don't look to destroy our own individual self, because as an individual, it's like absolutely we have value, and we all have a purpose within each of us, and so but one can look to see what their part has been in why they're in that pain. Maybe it's the person left because you were not accessing a part of yourself that they needed for themselves. And is that something, like emotions, right? It's like a lot of people will complain about their partners that they're not emotionally available. And is that something that's just like, well, I'm just not that person. I'm just not an emotional person. Or is it like, well, God, if I'm afraid to let it out. I'm afraid to say what's in my heart, because it might be, too critical, or it's like, or I'm just afraid. Right? Can be, where a person doesn't know why, but it's just like it's too much. I don't want to be, a person who cries in front of others, or it's like I feel that if I show that part, it'll be used against me. Well, lots of reasons, but when you look at your own self, when you look at your situation, do you have a part in why something has gone awry? And to look to I want to say fix it within yourself, right? To address it, to know that, yeah, this is an area that I can certainly rise up in and do better. Without going to the extreme of like I'm a worthless piece of crap because I didn't do this. It's like no one's a master. No one is a master of relationships or of this life that we have. We're all works in progress. And I feel that is a really important aspect of any of this, that we recognize that we are students every day, and sometimes we surprise ourselves on the like the good stuff and the bad stuff. The stuff that we can pat ourselves on the back, and the stuff that just like, why the heck did I do that? That was dumb. But to recognize that within us there's a lot of need, along with looking to fulfill our purpose. All right, two cards that I when they come up in meditation in meditations in readings, I like to think of them as meditation cards. And meditation is it's a great way of expressing self-care, because it allows you to tap into the inner voice, and to know what it is that you want, or sometimes it's important to start with what it is that you think you want. So then you can start to process that. And, maybe, by doing that, by starting at what it is that you think you want, you can kind of whittle that away and get down to the core of it, the essence of it. And so the first card, the Two of Wands, is a card of creating the world in which you wish to inhabit. And I see it as a meditation card because that's very very basic. It's as far as like the person who knows the environment that they want to operate in. It's like you have to have an idea of who you are. It's like who are you in that world? What gifts, viewpoint, what is it that you're expressing that allows you to be in that world and to sustain it? Say someone wants to live in a peaceful world. That's pretty basic. But if they want to live in a world where people get along and there's communication and cooperation and all, it's like, are you a peaceful person? Because if you're someone who's just wants everyone to just kind of like bend to your will, and that's your idea of peace. It's like, yeah, it's peaceful because no one gives me any flack for what I want. Is that a peaceful world? No. And to be able to live in a world like that, it's like you have to be peaceful at your core. And it's like, how do you maintain that inner peace? It's by being in touch, where 'cause I see meditation as sometimes one bypasses like their active mind and can get into kind of a deeper self there. One might call it a higher self. However whatever you call it as, it's like a place that is kind of a little bit more deeper than that place that necessarily operates around other people. It's like that inner sanctum, right? And when we allow for a creation of that inner part of us that we can be fully honest with ourselves and loving, and recognize our faults and our strengths as well, have that balance within us and cultivate that balance. It's really important. It's really important. And to be in that place of self-care, it is crucial. The other card that I see as a meditation card, the Four of Swords. And some people are confused by that because they see like these swords dangling over a person who's lying down. And in the Wizard's Tarot, it's like actual swords. I think in the Rider-Waite, they're like carved into the wall or something like that. And yet it's the swords, they represent the mind, and it's about having peace of mind and to be able to recognize when maybe you need to get away from a situation, long enough to just kind of gather your own thoughts. Sometimes this can happen in a meeting. Let's say you're at work, right? And it's like you're gathered there with colleagues and it's like it can get like a little bit hairy there. You know, maybe there's some pressures there, deadlines. You know, you've got to get, you know, kind of think on your feet and put stuff out there. You know, if you need to just like take a moment for yourself, you can excuse yourself and like, you know, like you're going to the restroom or whatever, but use that time to just kind of recalibrate, you know, if you're feeling pressure within. And that is like a, you know, a moment of self-care that can take place in an environment where, you know, you're being pushed. And without like just, you know, going into a place of overload. It's just like, you know, removing yourself and then coming back. You know, I had a question. I had a question that I wrote down about, you know, how much time should one take for oneself, you know, before going back kind of into the fray. And, you know, it's like any parent knows that you know, they can definitely use this time of for self to just kind of unwind while they're but they may not have a lot of time. It may be just kind of like, you know, kind of crazy there. A couple cards come up just off the bat there. The Queen of Pentacles and the Six of Pentacles. It's really interesting. You know, the Six of Pentacles is the card of give and take, where, you know, one allows for that balance. I mean, it's like the balance of when, you know, when one knows that they're kind of on top of things, that they can be the one who is the generous one. And then, you know, on the flip side of that are the people on their knees, you know, who are begging for you know, help. And along with the Queen of Pentacles, the Queen of Pentacles is about being able to enjoy life, right? Being in a place of comfort. And so, you know, in my mind, looking at these cards, you know, asking about how much is like kind of the proper amount. It's just where, you know, you get into a place of, you know, just starting to kind of replenish yourself again. You know, it's like you don't have to be 100% to dive back in, to jump back in, you know, because it feels like your role in like a situation that may feel like it's pulling from you, that it feels like that it's a place that you're you know, getting like a much greater benefit from. You know, like in the case of like being a parent, you know, being a mom, being a dad. It's like yes, your energies are being pulled in the moment by demands and all, but the larger picture of it is that, you know, you're creating a family. You know, you're building that. You're creating strong relationships, and so one is able to, you know, not have to, you know, feel like they need to recharge just, you know, fully to be able to dive back in, because they're being fed on different levels there. Pulled one more there because I like to read in threes. You know, that idea of, you know, how much self-care is does someone need, you know, before they can dive back in. And the Ace of Swords comes up. And again, you know, it's like the Ace, they usually correspond to ones or beginnings, you know, energy that is, you know, where we're, you know, one doesn't have to fully, you know, be kind of at like a, you know, if it was like the 10 of well, if it was the 10 of swords, then someone would be dead. They've wiped themselves out completely. But if it was like a higher number, then they would need kind of more time. And I feel that this one is about, you know, like not like having to, again, like be at that 100% mark of just like getting the full rest and all before they can dive back in, but to be able to almost like a like short bursts of attention of you know putting their best into it, and then you know perhaps you know pulling back a little bit and then you know diving back in again. Almost like the essence of like doing a power nap, you know, when one is like going on a long drive. You know, I've had a number of opportunities to do that, driven across the country a couple times, and if one you know paces themselves, if they you know get into a mindset where it's not about completing the whole drive, you know, like where one is kind of just they in their mind they put it towards you know creating like the small goals, like for instance, you know, driving. It's like okay, from LA to New York, if you're thinking, okay, you know, I have 3,000 miles, and okay, I'm driving, how long has it been? 20 minutes. Okay, I've got another, you know, 2,900 and some odd miles, you know. And if you keep the goal of New York in your brain, like kind of on the front burner as opposed to the back burner, then it's like you're going to wipe yourself out more than if you say, you know what, if I just go from LA to say like San Bernardino, you know, that's what, an hour or so. It's like, okay, we'll go there, you know, stop, you know, get some gas, you know, get a refuel on some coffee or water or whatever. And then it's like, okay, you know, now I'm leg of it. Oh, Indio. You know, we'll go to the border there. Okay, you know, and that's what, couple miles. All right, you know, and it's like you kind of focus in on the shorter distances, and then you know from there, you know, oh, Phoenix, you know, that's a 4 hour. You know, it's like where you allow for your brain to focus in on the short distances, even though on the back burner, it's like you know that, you know, your main goal is this really super long drive, and so I feel that, you know, that is a way of making sure that you don't wipe yourself out in the long run of it as well. All right, so, A couple other cards that I had pulled too that I wanted to address as far as you know the idea of self-care, and I'll go through them quickly there because I feel that you know it's a kind of a core area of looking at the tarot, and when you know people come to me, it's like I want to give them tools too so that they when they find themselves in situations, they can say, ah, okay, I see what's happening. What can I do about it? Seven of Wands comes up, card of overwhelming ourself. You know, it's like the wands represent that which we are, that which we are passionate about. And if we have a lot of stuff going on within us, all this juggling, and it's like, oh, well, what to do next? What to do now? What to do now? It's like, you know, we're going to overwhelm ourselves. So it's about how we prioritize and just say, okay, instead of trying to do seven things at once, I'm just going to do one thing. And then, you know, I'll do the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next. So that we don't, you know, wipe ourselves out, and that we feel like we're getting something done. So again, when the Seven of Wands comes up, it's about how we, you know, we see our own ambition. We see the things that we need to do, but don't get in our way of getting them done. Just do one at a time. You know, a heavy duty one is the Moon card. You know, because that deals with things that are below the surface of our own consciousness, you know, and it can deal with the things that are, you know, not only kind of in the depths there, the murky depths of our own being, but ones that we don't really want to let out. You know, I feel like we're opening up Pandora's box or something if we, you know, go there. And yet, you know, everything that is within us, it does look to express itself. And if it's, you know, something from a deeper, darker part of ourself, you know, it can, you know, come out in ways that can be upsetting. You know, they can be, you know, things that express themselves, you know, in ways that we had hoped that they would not. You know, sometimes in arguments with loved ones and all, it can come up as really hurtful words. And it's like, God, where did that come from? You know, I'm so sorry about that. You know, but it's like, you know, words are really hard to take back once they're put out from our mouths, and our actions too. You know, can you know, come from repressed places within ourselves. And so, you know, doing the work to uncover that, to allow for you know, an examination of that, so that we can start to you know, heal old wounds, perhaps, you know, in any abuses that we may have had as you know, kids or teenagers. You know, it's like, you know, life is pretty complex, and in how all the experiences that we can have, and you know, again, no one is a master of being able to analyze and integrate all of these things within us. You know, and to say, you know, oh, you know, it's just something that happened as a kid, whatever. It's like it can come up later, and you know, it can affect one. And to be able to, you know, sometimes it's about going to a therapist. You know, sometimes it's about going to see someone. You know, because, you know, you as an individual do not have the exact tools to bring it up. You know, sometimes it's, you know, hypnosis, something that allows for a way of accessing repressed memories, but stuff that dogs us, you know, and it's not a coincidence that there's two dogs on the Moon card usually, But it is, sometimes those things that dog us, right? And it's like sometimes we can't pinpoint exactly what it is, and but yet it'd be like nice to have it revealed or so that you could start to let it go. That is again a really large part of caring about yourself. It's making sure that the energies that are within, and sometimes they feel like they're trapped. It's like finding a release valve for them, anything that's within. There's other cards too, like that show, kind of when we get trapped in ourselves, like the Nine of Swords, where our mind is on a hamster wheel within. It's just like spinning, 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 and it's just like where, we can get just caught up in scenarios and all. It's kind of like the Queen of Cups sometimes is the card of where, we retreat in a fantasy world. Because it's not being let out into the real world. And when we do that, you think of the person who reads or watches a lot of movies or TV or whatever, these are entertainments, they're fantasy worlds in that, they exist on paper or in a electronic realm, and yet, they're if one has a desire to just immerse themselves in that, it's like, what are they not seeing in the quote unquote real world? What are they not seeing, outside of themselves that's as interesting, or something that they can make that's interesting? And I've been an artist most of my life, a filmmaker, a musician. I get that, one's inner life can be, amazingly rewarding and very rich. And so I'm not saying that, someone who spends a lot of time there is, completely avoiding. But it is like, something to look at if again the balance is maybe not there. If someone within themselves is questioning, why they are so inward, and they have a desire to want to, be able to express themselves more. They're maybe fearful of it. That's when there's a motivation to look for a way of changing things up. Because, some people will always be in that world. They'll never change, and they don't want to change. And it's not up to someone else to kind of force it. But again, if someone is wanting to make a change in their own life, and the tarot is seeing ways of, how we keep ourselves locked in to, let's say, a fantasy life or a where we're just on that mental wheel inside our head where, maybe we're always thinking about, oh yeah, I want to do that, or I want to do that, or I want to do that, but never like acting on it. Never like, if there's a problem, I guess, if you feel that within yourself, then it's time to do something. And again, the tarot can kind of help pinpoint it. And once we look at it, then we can start to shift energy. We can start to do that. I'm just looking at a question here. Why is it so difficult to look after ourselves? I guess that would pertain to if someone is like always kind of like looking out for others, if they feel that that's a virtue, which it is, to see others as well as yourself, to not be greedy in life, to share, to be generous. I just want to look at that. Is it difficult? Is it difficult to kind of, look to after ourselves? It's interesting, the judgment card comes up, the hanged man, the Ace of Cups. I laugh because, those are heavy cards. I mean, looking to see, in the judgment card, it's all about how we look to, rise up within ourselves to change something about our self, but kind of rise to the next level. It's about how we integrate our experiences and look to be able to recognize on all levels, all parts of ourself, from body, mind, spirit, emotions. If we're like ready to, if we're actually ready to rise up kind of all together, like this holistic graduation within ourself, to be able to reinvent ourselves. And mixed with these other cards of like the hanged man, the card of sacrifice, the card of being the martyr. It looks like again where one is usually wired to want to be not just outside of themselves, but to be part of something, with others. It's like that encoding, to be a social being. And yet, it's like one wants to fulfill, their own purpose, but also be a part of something else that is beneficial to others too. And is there kind of a battle that goes on within ourself? I'm a fan, or not a fan, but I love that. There's a cartoon out there called The Awkward Yeti, which is it shows the classic battle between the heart and the brain within each of us, and I love that, because it's so true. Where it's like the our heart wants to go one direction, our brain wants to go another, and it's just like it's fantastic because it's so true. And along those lines, the ability to want to better oneself, along with being connected to others. It's like the hanged man is that card of being kind of stuck in between. If we're not real clear for ourselves how we can be of service. So, utilizing one's gifts to be the best individual that you can be, and making sure that you're able to know what your talents are that you're offering to others, and diving in, the Ace of Cups. That's like a really rich symbolic card of being able to connect with others and be in a place where you're finding that connection with others out in life there. All right. So I hope that's of service. I'm going to sign off. My website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com, and check out my workshops there at the on the tarot side of the site, and coming to lots of places upcoming. San Luis Obispo and Oakland and Las Vegas and North Hollywood. We'll love to meet you there. All right. Thank you for listening to Wizard Talk. And I'll be back here next week. Bye.